It is time once again for the Sensible Heating and Cooling Podcast. We're so happy to have you, and welcome to the new folks that are jumping aboard and listening here. You can always find us at sensibleheat.net and eventually on, well, worldwide, Google, Apple Play, Spotify, all the other podcasts. We're getting there.
World domination.
I'm saying that's where we're headed with this thing. Corey Lopez, Phil Jensen here. Talking about the HVAC industry, talking about electrification, talking about heat pumps, talking about geothermal, talking about all of these different things, and all in the midst of this crisis of energy, gas, natural gas, all this other stuff that's kind of going on. It's not a bad time to start thinking maybe outside the box a little bit for some people to go, well, when I think about my heating and cooling, we're trying to be environmentally conscious, but at the same time, you're also thinking, well, electrification's not all bad.
Right. There's a lot of advantages to it.
Yeah. We even have a tab on our website, electrification, right?
Right.
We had to make sure we spelled it right.
Yeah, that's a long word.
But we really do. It is something that we talk about and that we have on the podcast. We write about extensively. We've got years and years of blogs with lots of information that can answer some questions at sensibleheat.net. What we wanted to talk about today, though, is, well, the culture that we have at Sensible Heating and Cooling is awesome. Ask any one of the employees, right? It's pretty good.
Yeah, we really want to walk the walk, and you know, a lot of what we're trying to bring to the market is that we are concerned about the planet, and you know, part of that is just, you know, your people's day-to-day lives, and you know, if you can't get outside and enjoy nature and do all the things that you like to do, which in our case, I guess, is playing golf.
Yes.
In your case, good golf. In my case, not so good. But just getting outside and, you know, being able to enjoy weekends and time with your family and that kind of thing is very important to us.
We tell people that because we could always use more people, right?
Yeah, that's the struggle. The trades have really diminished in count, or maybe the demand has grown, but I was listening to Bloomberg Radio yesterday and listening to the lady who heads up the Milken Institute, and she was talking about different career paths for people, and college has always been the desired career path, but I think a lot of people like myself were not really as interested in sitting inside of a classroom as, in my case, I was more interested in working outside and working with my hands. But I read a lot. I like to continuously learn. And I like moving around. And I think that there's a lot of people like that, that, you know, feel like, you know, working in a trade is maybe not their first choice. But, you know, what I've learned over the course of a 40-plus year career is that I've never once been bored, and I've always learned stuff, and I've done the same thing for a very long time now.
But it's not the same thing.
Yeah, so it started out, you know, very physical and learning things that, you know, how to work, and in my 20s that was a good thing. And when I was 32, I started our first business, and we did that for 20 years and then sold it to a company. And then we started this one. Well, actually, Dan started this one in 2009. And now we've been partners in it for the last five and a half years. And it's growing very quickly. And we're constantly looking for people to help us grow.
I think it's interesting you say that, though, that you still learn. You give that opportunity to the people that work for Sensible Heating and Cooling, too, to
learn. Yeah, that's a very big part of our you know, what we like is we like helping people grow and develop their careers. I think, you know, in your 20s or even 30s, then a lot of the work is very physical. But then as you start to learn more of the mental aspects of it, it's becomes very challenging, and people can grow into either management positions, or they can grow into sales positions, they can grow into design positions, engineering. The business part of it is what always interested me a lot, and so I ended up becoming an owner and learning all that goes along with that.
When someone comes in, I guess I'll ask this. Why is it so challenging to find people that want to do this? Or maybe I couch that and say, why is it so difficult to find qualified people to do this?
So I'm pretty critical of our industry, and not just our industry, but other industries, in terms of what we've done to promote the career paths that we have to offer. And so I think it's really important to recognize that we need to do a better job of that. And so it does cost money to train people, and it does take effort. One of the best companies that I worked with is actually a company in Tennessee called Happy Hiller Plumbing and Heating. And what they did was they invested $3 million into a training center. And they've set up a whole program where they take people that are coming out of the military, that have been in the military for a while, and they have VA benefits. And so what they do is they teach people how to become, you know, they teach them the basics of plumbing or HVAC or electrical. And they've grown phenomenally, in part because they've been able to come up with a system that helps to train people. And say in 5 years, they grew from an $8 million company to an $80 million company just by being able to bring people into the industry and teaching them not only how to have a trade, but also, you know, good customer service. And so that's, you know, that's something that I think is very cutting edge. And I, you know, I wish that more companies in our industry would do things like that. So that's one of our goals, is to try and help people learn how to be in the trades.
It's interesting you have to do it yourself, though. It's not to say there's not, you know, vocational colleges that are out there, but I find it, even outside of the trade world, I remember when I got out of high school, obviously I'm a, you know, broadcast guy, but they weren't teaching what I needed to know for the real world. Is that the case when it comes to some of the trade schools?
Yeah, it's a lot better than it used to be when I started. And I think when I started, the attitude was more about trying to protect your own job, and people that were your peers were not as likely to help train other people coming into the industry. That attitude has dissipated quite a bit. There's a lot more opportunities, and there's some really great training online. There's some certifications that didn't used to exist, like NAIT certification. The licensing is a lot more standardized, and so there's just a lot of, you know, if you want to go about the business of building credentials in the industry, that's a great way to advance your career. And so we're working with our young people. We've got a 25-year-old that has been in the industry now for 6 years, and he's been very dedicated to learning all different aspects of the trade. And so now we want to take him to the next level and start to teach him a little bit more about, you know, supervision and management. So now we're starting to work with him on the people skill part of it.
So that's amazing. The opportunities that are available just at Sensible Heating and Cooling, as you try to kind of lead, I want to say lead the industry as best you can. You talked about an example of a company down in Texas that you got, you saw what they did. Other people are doing this. You're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and that's how we learn, we learn from each other. And there's a lot of businesses and business owners that have developed some really good best business practices. And so that's what's always kept me entertained, because when I, you know, had a lot of the technical aspects under my belt, then I really wanted to learn other parts of the business. And you know, I've always been much better when I learn from the people that have been there and done that and done a better job than I have.
Yeah. How in the HVAC industry, it sounds like you are competitors, but at the same time, there's a lot of things you can learn from each other too. I don't know if you can compare it to other industries, but it seems like there's a lot more collaboration, at least. And maybe it's because of the times, it's harder to find techs. It's, you know, it's harder to find employees that are willing to come in and work for, well, the money's getting better, but I feel like there's more collaboration here over the last few years between companies.
Yeah, we've gone out of our way to join industry organizations and align ourselves with vendors that encourage that. And so there's just so much to learn and so much to know, and the industry keeps changing so quickly. Technology keeps changing so quickly. And so we have to be on our A game to be able to keep up with a lot of that. And for example, the software system that we use is extremely layered in terms of being able to keep track of customers and technicians and revenue. And so just that alone takes a pretty advanced person to be able to manage all of that. So we have to have a lot of support in those kinds of areas. And so one of the ways we try to keep our costs down is by using technology. But of course we need the people to be able to use that technology, and other people to help support us when we, you know, don't understand everything.
It feels like that starts to skew potential techs much younger. And again, it's not to say that an old dog can't learn new tricks, but for, you know, even, you know, your grandson, you know, my son, great with the technology, you know.
Right.
Builds his own computer and sets up our printer the other day, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, it's just a natural for people that are 18, 19, 20 years old, just coming out of high school, even 15, 16, 17, going into high school, and maybe college isn't their thing.
Yeah, well, and what's kind of neat is that, you know, there's a couple different paths that I've seen people follow. One is that they come out of college not quite sure what they want to do. They haven't learned a specific skill, so then they learn a trade, and then their college education is a wonderful, you know, basis for that, a good foundation. And then the other track is that we see people that come into the trades and they'll work for 5 or 10 years, and then they decide, well, I want more. And so they'll go get an engineering degree or a business degree or something, and then they just keep advancing in the industry. And there's wonderful opportunities that way too.
Well, very cool stories about some of the people at Sensible. I know that. If you want to learn more about some of the people at Sensible, it's easy. Sensibleheat.net on our blogs. You know, you, Joey, Ivan, there's three.
Yeah. Well,
to learn about Joe, just the path that that the people at Sensible have taken to get here, and the path that they've set themselves on now.
Yeah, Stephen has a very interesting story too. He was in the Navy for 10 years, and then when he left, he worked for an insurance company for a year, and then he came to work for us. And he just recently completed his master's in business administration, using VA benefits to get there, but working with us full time. So I think that was quite a tremendous accomplishment. And, you know, his business expertise has really helped our business a lot. So he's, you know, so that's an example of, you know, not setting self-limitations, you know, just going out and going after what you want to do.
You're always looking for people, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, and well, you know, we've got a lot of people that are very enthusiastic about what we do because our mission is very clear. We want to help people find ways to use less gas and heat more with electricity, and so that's something that I don't think a lot of HVAC companies are very focused on.
If somebody wants a job, what do they do?
Our website is www.sensibleheat.net. There's an employment page, and there's a way to fill out a form, and then we look at the application, and then we can also, we'll also, you know, take resumes, and so we're, you know, there's, we're pretty easy to get a hold of, and yeah, anybody who's seriously looking for a way to start or advance a career, we'd love to talk to them.
Yeah, old or new in the business too, right?
Right.
All comers?
Yeah. In the field, we are currently looking for a lead installer, which is a person with 4 years in the field. And we also are looking for a customer service representative. And so, you know, once we have those people in place, then there's going to be more positions open up. We have a need for service technicians. We have a need for an apprentice with about 2 years of field experience. So those are some of our more immediate needs.
Sensibleheat.net. You can find on the employment page again, a place to fill out information, ask questions. You want to learn more about the culture of Sensible Heating and Cooling? We'll talk more about it on our podcasts, obviously, but you can also read up about some of the people and just about Sensible Heating and Cooling and what we're all about on the blogs as well. There's plenty of that out there. This is fun. You know, we're headed toward winter, so you know on the next few podcasts we're going to start talking about heating again. You know that's not that far away, right?
Yeah, I'm always surprised how quickly golf season ends. It's never long enough.
I know. It's sad. Well, we can golf well into the fall. I know we're just heading into fall, but I'm the kind that likes to golf when it's 60 degrees plus, but
all right.
That's the way that works. Sensible Heating and Cooling, our podcast on a monthly basis. You have comments, you have questions you want answered as well. You can find out more at sensibleheat.net. For Phil Jensen, I'm Corey Lopez. We'll talk to you again real soon.